and welcome to another episode of Songcraft Breaking It Down. This week we are discussing my song choice, which was, if you listened to last week's episode, The Spirit of Radio by Rush. A song that for years I thought was called The Spirit of the Radio for some reason. Close, but no cigar. The reason I chose this song is because it's Rush. That's all that needs said. I'm a very big prog fan, as many of our long-time listeners know. I tend to choose prog songs, if nothing else, because prog is an awesome genre and you should check it out, especially prog rock. You know, there's loads of prog rock bands going about. Thank You Scientist, some artists, Pliny, and prog is just an awesome genre. Thomas Lang, he's an awesome drummer in an awesome genre. What do you two think of the song? Dread I ask.
Well, I'll go first then, because Anthony's clearly just sort of turning slightly more Chinese as his eyes get smaller. But I've always loved this song. Dad has Rush's Gold album upstairs, as well as another one, I think. He's liked Rush. He loves the singer.
I should point out that Anthony is on a passage to Bangkok. Anyway, carry on.
I wonder why the wall looks so...
We're doing Rush jokes, everyone.
Yay.
Racist
Rush jokes.
I'm going to say, at the same time, it doesn't require that much talent. There's a backup joke in that one for Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, moving on. I love Rush. This is the first song I was introduced to them by. That sense made no sense.
It's okay.
You have to bear with me.
It's okay. They're Canadian. They'll apologize for us.
Yeah.
I'm full of non-pandemic diseases, so I'm going to sound horrible and I'm going to make no sense. But what else is new? Yeah. I've always loved Rush. I've never really investigated them all that far, but you can't not like the song. This is gonna be another repeat of Keep the Faith, where it's one of those songs I know I absolutely love, but have no ability on the best of days to explain why, let alone today. When I got off the boat at 10 to 20 past 8 this morning, because it was late getting off. And yeah, I live on an island, listeners. I have to get a ferry to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think the thing with Rush, especially on this song for me, is that it's very balanced. Now, Rush, there's some songs that favours the vocalist a lot more, there's some songs that favour the guitarist a lot more. You still get, obviously, Neil Peart throwing in some amazing fills because it's Neil Peart. He's like the best drummer that's ever lived. He sadly died last year, but there's just, this song just feels very balanced. For 6 minutes, they go through rock, they go to reggae, which is really cool when they do that. You know, when the tempo just drops into this reggae and then hops back into rock and then drops back down again into reggae, it's so cool to hear. And it's just terrifically done. You can't knock this song, or I can't anyway. Anthony is going to try, maybe? I don't know.
No, I don't need to knock this song. Rush are a very good band. I was first introduced to them when I started learning to play the drums. Tom Sawyer was one of the first songs I came across.
I feel like that's
not a star song. You need,
yeah,
you need,
exactly.
You need about,
welcome to your,
you need
welcome
like,
to your drum kit, Mr. Yeah. Stanya.
Here's Tom Sawyer, and here's the 7 extra toms that you need to play Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the type of person I am. Like, oh, I like the sound of that. Let's do that. But but that's how I was introduced to Rush. And there's you know, a few other songs that I know by them. But I didn't actually know The Spirit of Radio until a while back when I heard it on Radio 2, and I thought, oh, this is a very good song. But Rush are another one of those bands that you can always pick them out. I went into a record store to look for some vinyls.
You pick lots of things out of the record store, though. That's kind of the point.
Well, no. Listen to what I was about to say. So I went in and they were playing a vinyl, because that's what they do, you know, they play their stock and everything like that. I was just listening to it. I was like, I know that voice. That's definitely Rush. And I looked at what was being played, and it was a Rush album. So he's got that really iconic kind of, you know, you can pick him out anywhere. And, you know, their style as well is fantastic. I need to go get my laptop charger, so I'll be back in a second.
Going on from Anthony, though, in a really smooth and slightly unsmooth way. Talking about their kind of style, I'm looking up as we go here. I've noticed here that it says Rush was never a band that pandered to their fans. So that's instant respect. Dedication to the music, not to the people. It's all well being like a sellout.
Yeah. I mean, the people love Rush, and just whatever they do, it just seems to be really good, because they're not doing it for people, they're doing it because they love music. And when you see Neil Peart playing some of these songs, it's just unreal. I didn't actually know this until I started reading into this song, but I didn't realise that Neil Peart was actually the lyricist for Rush, or on this song he was anyway.
That makes sense, actually, because you know how we were speaking just before this podcast about how his drums are ridiculous and so overplayed, mm-hmm. but it works. I think that might be why.
Yeah.
He writes the lyrics in time to the drums, which is a different concept that I think most people would ever do. But with them, it really, really works.
Yeah, if memory serves, they kind of stole little bits from other songs. There's lyrics that, Peart parodied The Sound of Silence, obviously Simon Garfunkel's song, The Sound of Silence. So they wrote, "For the words of the prophets were written on the subway walls and tenement halls and echo with the sound of silence." Neil Peart wrote, "For the words of the prophets were written on the studio wall and concert halls and echo with the sound of salesmen." Which, a little nod to Simon Garfunkel there, which I think it's pretty cool to be able to do that. And I think the whole song, the way they've wrote the song, is clearly around the lyrics, because obviously the song was around the spirit of radio. And immediately I read it in an interview that Alex Lifeson, the guitarist, began obviously picking the strings very quickly and doing a hammer-on, hammer-off technique, and made this kind of sound that sounded like, you know, radio waves bouncing off. And I think that comes through in the song, and it's like, it's really, really well written musically and lyrically. And it's cool. Everything about this song, as soon as you hear that guitar intro, you know it's Rush. You know it's the spirit of radio. It's very iconic.
Oh, very, very much so. And as a guitarist and a pianist, there's not anything in there for someone of my, laugh it up.
Yes, I'm immature. Okay.
I said pianist. I play pianos, not anything else. Funny joke. Ha ha. But there's nothing in here, guitar-wise, there's no piano at all, that would draw me in or make me think it's amazing. I'm not a drummer, so I'm easily amused by anything, but I can tell that there's technique in this. There's just, I mean, I sat and, as soon as I remembered which song I what song I was this week. I went and just sat and looked through all these different people covering Rush, and then watched the guy do it, like Neil Peart himself do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the covers are impressive. When you watch him do it,
he's just on a whole other level.
You wonder what he's on, because he has eyes in the back of it. It's just, he just sort of looks wherever he wants, and his arms just flail like he's some sort of...
Yeah.
I think what really stood out to me about Neil Peart is that he's got a xylophone on his drum kit. I think that to me is just like the coolest thing ever.
That's about as prog as you can get, really, isn't it?
Yeah. The fact that you've mastered... drum kit. Yeah, mastered an instrument so much that you're adding extra instruments to it. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And unfortunately, he was taken too soon.
Yeah. They were just... Rush, as a band, have always been just on a whole other level. The way they've wrote their songs, the way everything just fits together, is just genius. And I think this is one song that really reflects it. And for those older listeners, you'll find that the way they talk about the radio is not what radio as we know it today, where you get all these like jingles and things where they're talking about like, oh, BBC Radio 2 or whatever it is, or such and such on Radio 2. But it's,
I do believe,
like,
according to Radio 2, is available on the BBC Sounds app. Not that we're advertising. Radio 2 does that enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, guys. Come on. We get it. You have an app.
Yeah.
It's even worse on Radio 1. So
the thing is, you're advertising the app on the radio, but we clearly already have a radio connection in order to listen to the radio. Why do we need the app if we are perfectly capable of listening to the radio on the radio?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That, I think it's that. It's like...
Moving on.
No, it's... Yeah. Well, Alex Lifeson said... there was a common motto for radio stations at the time. Like, you'd hear a DJ go, "The Edge 102. Like something along those lines. That was your jingle. That was it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any of this like stupid electronic sounds going BBC Radio 2. It was literally just The Edge 102, and it was the DJ who was literally doing everything else.
There was that time someone decided it was a good idea to use "What a Beautiful Day" by The Levellers. Do you mind that one? Someone once used "What a Beautiful Day" by The Levellers because they thought it was a really innocent song about having a good day. They obviously did not look into the fact that it is very much not about having a beautiful day, and that title is very much ironic.
It's like using "Jump" as a happy day song.
Jump for joy!
It's more like the BBC doing a live performance with Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, that was funny. It was stupid, but it was incredibly funny.
Levellers are still probably one of the most subtly political groups. I say subtly. If you know them, you know they're heavily political. If you just think they're a pop group, then you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Mine's on a whole other tangent this evening. I do apologize.
I think...
I'll just shut up. I'll mute my microphone.
Well, that's... The interesting thing about this song is that it wasn't usual for Rush to do this, and it's actually one of the rare songs that was short enough for them to get it on radio and get radio airplay, and therefore it actually got to number one. It didn't get number one. I think it got into the top 20.
The charts has never been good for highlighting the best songs.
Well, that's the beauty of it, I would say, is that you find your own, you find your own music in that sense. You know, I think this comes back to the whole charts thing. You know, if there was no such thing as the charts, a lot of artists would never have existed. You know, it's kind of like the Gulf Stream of music, you know, just kind of rockets you through. Whereas, you know, you've got ones that are just out in the ocean and they're just waiting to be found, you know, and that's ultimately how, you know, us three have based our music knowledge and, you know, the music that we like, because we've, you know, fished in the ocean. We know what's in there, whereas some people just look at the Gulf Stream and think, oh yeah, I'll go with that, really. I think it's just being willing to try new things, really. You know, try out artists and say, no, I actually don't like that, but I like the sound of that, you know. Mm-hmm. Find what you like.
Have either of you actually looked at the lyrics of this song?
Many, many a time. Understood them, no, but looked at them, yes.
Well,
I saw, it's like being at a museum really and looking at something really... It's like looking at... Well...
You basically just called Ethan stupid.
They're not. Like, they're not that difficult to understand, but I think just the way it's written is very good. It's similar to songs like Hero of War, You're Still Here by Poets of the Fallen, since they'd maybe talking about such a simple subject, but it does it in a very clever manner. It does it through not directly speaking about describing radio waves as invisible airwaves crackle with life, talking about, obviously, the spirit of radio.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
Yeah.
Elusive. No. And the magic music makes your morning mood. Off on your way, hit the open road. Obviously, listen to the radio while you're in the car. There is magic at your fingers. For the spirit of radio.
It's not anymore. Like, I'd imagine this was in an era that you could actually turn on the radio and you would get something that features a guitar. Nowadays, you turn on the radio and you're lucky to actually hear an instrument or someone who knows how to play one.
You know, well, looking at these lyrics again now, I have just realized they make a lot more sense to me nowadays than I did the last time I looked at them. I was probably about 9 when I looked at them last.
Yeah.
However...
You see what I mean? They're not difficult to understand. They're just cleverly written.
A bit like something to get out of Portals of the Fall.
Yeah, that's the example I gave earlier. You're Still Here and Hero of War.
Ah, sorry.
The imagery, is
I am
very...
not still here. I'm gone. I'm away.
Yeah, you can tell. The imagery that's used is very clever. But the actual what's saying is fairly simple.
It actually makes a stab at pop music as well. All this machinery making modern music can still be open-hearted, not so coldly charted. It's really just a question of your honesty. Yeah, your honesty.
Yep, and in the last verse, where it says, for the words of the prophets, it's not prophets spelt the same way in the Simon Garfunkel one, where it's P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, it's spelt P-R-O-F-I-T-S, as in
money.
And it just shows the corruption and the money-grabbing attitude of the music industry, and this was written in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I believe,
you know, when it wasn't as widespread as it was.
It's gotten a lot worse now.
Yeah. And that also line... it says... Sorry. I was just going to say, it says also, one likes to believe in the freedom of music, but glittering prizes and endless compromises shatter the illusion of integrity. So it kind of just shows that the whole hollowness of the music industry. Anyway, Ethan, Karen.
No, I was going to say, that phrase about all this machinery making modern music can still be open-hearted. That's my issue with the charts. It's not that they've been handed this and they can't do anything with it. I mean, there's a song I really like at the moment that's kind of doing the rounds, I've noticed. It's one of the songs I found that I didn't realize that was actually quite a big song. It's called Freaks by Surf's Curse. I don't know if you've seen that one floating about. It's doing the rounds in kind of the TikTok media kind of thing. You know, that app with the videos. I think it's on
TikTok. Yeah.
TikTok. I got it wrong again.
TikTok.
Yeah, I got it wrong again. Sorry. TikTok. Tactic. I don't know.
Tactic.
Yeah. Like that song by Surf's Curse, there's a bit of instrumental in it, but it is heavily altered. I can go back in time and look at the Muse are a good example of how it could be done if you did use modern machinery making modern music. Muse did it better than anyone, in my personal opinion. They were the prime example of how to use digital editing on something that already existed. And there's still artists out there doing that today. It's when they have someone else push 3 buttons on a keyboard and sing some procedurally generated lyrics. I can't see the reason in that. At that point, you're just making money and not... It's just commercializing it. And I know
you're wanting to live the lifestyle of a musician without the effort and brain power.
Money for nothing and your chicks for free.
That kind of is the lifestyle of a musician now. A musician, artist, musical artist.
Just stop complaining.
Like, nowadays...
Money is such a problem.
Yeah, pretty much. Nowadays, I don't...
He got mansions, maybe we should rob them.
Yeah, nowadays I think we should just... I don't think we can call a lot of people, like a lot of the people in the charts nowadays, I don't think you can call them a musician. A musician to me is someone who can play an instrument. I don't think a lot of the people in the charts can play an instrument.
Well, actually, there's actually a term for people who can actually play instruments, and they're instrumentalists now. You know, there has to be that definition now.
So what, we've changed the definition of musician to suit people in the charts who aren't musicians.
Yeah.
A bit like how they changed the meaning of gay.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
Happened there, guys? Come on.
Used to be.
Let's brush this issue now. But yeah, and then someone who can play more than one instrument. So if you can play the guitar and the triangle, then you're a multi-instrumentalist. It's like, no, that's just someone who can make music and knows what they're doing.
I think by definition, that's a musician.
Yes, but apparently not these days.
Are people that desperate to think of themselves as musicians?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I mean, there comes a point where you're lying to yourself. I mean, surely goodness. Yeah, if you I mean, if you want to do that, and
making music isn't for everyone.
I disapprove as much as it is, but don't lie to yourself and think that
you're a musician.
You've put the effort in. Like Mark Knopfler says, if you get a blister on your little finger, maybe get a blister on your thumb, you have to put the effort in. You can't just do things like that and expect to have the same. Like, I'm a builder. Like, to trade, I am a builder, joiner. For the last 5 years, I couldn't have called myself just, you know, a professional builder. I wasn't. I was an apprentice. I was training. I was learning. It took effort to get to the point where I could say, yeah, I'm a builder now. I build houses. I'm a joiner.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even say that I'm a proper guitarist yet. I would still say I am learning. There's still lots of techniques I haven't learned. This has really annoyed people more than it should. I didn't realize that was a thing. People have...
You're not
a musician if you've not put in
the effort,
some level of effort or feeling.
Yeah.
If you've just... Like, I couldn't go out on a football pitch and say I'm a footballer. Ryan's seen me play football.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good example, actually. Yeah. That's like standing on a basketball court and saying, I'm a basketball player.
It's like standing on a basketball court and saying you're a table tennis player. It's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and for those of you who are going to argue, going, oh, but these people, they can sing. That means they have a musical instrument, their voice.
They've not needed to since 1997.
They can't sing. Put it that way, they can't sing.
Have you ever seen that video of Olivia Rodriguez doing that thing before they, like, get the autotune sorted?
Oh, well done. You got her name right. Well done.
No, I didn't.
Oh, did he not?
I keep forgetting to get it wrong.
Never mind.
Have I got two things wrong in one episode?
He's been getting things wrong, ironically, now that he actually gets them wrong accidentally.
What's her name?
But I just... Rodrigo.
Okay, the driver's license one. It was a good song until I realised it was explicit as well.
It was never a good song in my book.
I didn't mind it the first time. It was original-ish, even though she didn't write it. Credit to the writer of that one.
She didn't really sing it either, though.
Well, no, it turned out she didn't.
She can't sing.
You saw her do one of them, like, what was it? Good for you, I hope you're happy now, or something, I don't know.
She did that one, and it
was horrendous.
And then
suddenly it's amazing.
It's what annoys me so much is that, like, so recently I went to see Delamitri live, and he can sing incredibly well. Like, he's in his 50s now. A lot of the songs they were doing were kind of older ones that he probably wrote 20, 30 years ago. And, like, he was hitting the high notes and, like, holding them and doing it just like he probably done it on the recording. He was brilliant. If you've ever seen Take On Me by Aha done at their MTV Unplugged, the boy can sing. What you have nowadays is people who simply cannot do that. They need some kind of backing track. There was it one of the X Factor judges? She was, like, sitting there lip syncing, and then she realized that the backing track wasn't playing, and she actually started singing. It sounded horrendous because it hadn't been auto-tuned. I can't remember, I'll need to find this video, but there was a video of one of the X Factor judges saying, you know, singing's for some people, but it's not for everyone.
Saw that.
Have you seen that? The guy just comes back with, the difference between me and you is that I don't auto-tune.
Yeah, that's why you use auto-tune and I don't.
Simon Cowell was just a wave.
Like, well done.
Good man.
But also, just as a disclaimer, we're not talking about every single person within the charts. You know, there are people who can sing, but it's, you know, there's a majority who can't sing and just use autotune. But there are, there are diamonds in the rough.
Mm-hmm. An example I can give of that was Lewis Capaldi when he was kicking about. He seems to have vanished off the face of the earth. But I heard that Radio 1 did a thing where you had to listen to them before there was any editing put in. He's not as good afterwards as before the editing. He's not as good. Very rarely are people these days.
Mm-hmm.
But he can sing. The boy's got a good set of pipes on him.
Oh, yeah.
Another example is the guy from the Arctic Monkeys. That's maybe going back a little bit longer than this current charts, but he can sing. He can. It's not a group you'd think, oh, they're just a nonsense group, but he can really sing. What's his name? I can't mind his name.
Alex Turner. Is that his name? I almost said Tina Turner.
But anyway, we should probably go back on topic and do scores. Well,
this is still on topic. This is the spirit of radio these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much worse it is now? Yeah. If we go
this is what I get when I'm in a bad mood. I'm full of cold and I didn't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
I was awake, and I was awake at 3 o'clock this morning.
That's not fun. If we go to scores, Anthony, your score.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give this an 80. I mean, I haven't listened to it much, but from my initial, you know, listenings, I'd say that, you know, it's a fantastic song. You know, it's up there.
Ethan?
I'm 10 up. I'm 90. I've just always loved this song. There's no in between. I just absolutely love everything about this song. Like, the drums are immense.
Do you mind me asking what takes 10 points off it?
It's not Keep the Faith. No. For me, there needs to be... For something to get that high, it has to have a value to you. So I love this song on a technical level in every way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song. It's well written. Everything's excellent about it. But to be going above 90, it has to have some level of personal feel to it. So the last one I went 90 on was the last week.
Past 6 years, Death of Anna.
That song was with me throughout a pretty time. Look at, you've put the list up. What else have I put as 90?
You put Say You'll Haunt Me.
Say You'll Haunt Me is the sort of way I express a love song. Like that's kind of how it registers for me. So, and even then, they're only 90. They've not gone above that. So once you start getting into some of the more personal songs, I think for me, that'll be when you start going above 90. So that's probably the highest score I can give it on a technical level.
On a technical level.
If that makes sense. That makes sense in my head.
It makes sense to me that, like, you know, a song that's got some connection to you, like, that automatically boosts it a little bit higher. I said this in the last episode, that the past 6 years, I gave it an 80 because, you know, it's a good song. You gave it a 90 because you had that personal connection to it. Because personally, I don't think the past 6 years is a bad song. I think it's worthy of an 80. I don't think it's worthy of higher, but because you've got a personal connection to it, it's worth more to you.
Exactly. That is why it got 90. We discussed that in the last one as well. So that's why this one, that's probably the 10 points difference.
Yeah.
The lack of personal meaning to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technical song.
Yeah. And I like this technical song, but I've also loved this song for a long, long time. It's one of the first songs I discovered from Rush. The first actually was Tom Sawyer, I believe it was, but this was a very close second. This is the song that I've always, like, just, if I've ever felt like just chilling out, just chuck this on, because it's just awesome to listen to. Because you go from that fast-paced prog rock into this reggae, and the reggae bit is really cool, and then it hops back out. It's such a great song. I love every minute of it. It's one of those songs that, even though it's like 6-7 minutes long, I can chuck in my headphones and enjoy this any time, any place, like any day. It doesn't get old for me.
You know, it's only 4 minutes 56, not 6 or 7 minutes.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Tom Sawyer, that's 6 minutes long. But yeah,
I think there is an extended version.
No, Tom Sawyer is 4.5 minutes.
Is Tom Sawyer 4.5?
Yeah, Working Man is 7.
It's prog. There's a lot of, there's a lot of five, six songs.
Yeah.
But like, this is a song that I can listen to at any point. I can happily sit down and listen to it just whenever. It doesn't get old, and it's rare that I find a song that doesn't get old. Because a lot of the songs in this list, Keep the Faith is one of the ones that doesn't get old for me. Most of the songs in this list that we've reviewed get old for me. After a little while, I'll get bored of listening to them and then have to wait a few months to come back to them. This has never gotten old for me.
I see what's happening.
Anthony sees
what's happening. You're excusing a 100, aren't you?
I'm not excusing a 100, I'm explaining a 100, which is why I'm giving it 100. And that puts it with a solid score of 90 and puts it into second place ahead of Anaesthetized by Porcupine Tree and behind, obviously, Keep the Faith by Bon Jovi, which is stuck at 91.67.
It's always going to take a lot of beating up, because, and to explain why I gave that one such a high score is because that's a song that's followed me ever since I discovered Bon Jovi.
Yes.
It's probably that song that made me want to play guitar.
But Anthony's now going to get a little bit of a surprise because it's his song next week.
Yep. I know what song I'm choosing. I chose this about 3 weeks ago.
Bear in mind, this could potentially be the last song you get to choose this season.
And I have a good one for it.
Well, this will be the last song he's chosen this season. This is the end.
Decided that I will go out with a bang. And the song that I have chosen for next week is...
I swear if it's Billy Free Gold, Bird. I'm going to come there and find you.
You say Free I've Bird.
Free Bird by Leonard Skinner.
No, dude, the album Free Bird is on. Literally, the album is called How to Say Their Name.
And it's Leonard Skinner. Look at it. No, it's Skynard. Because I have that album on vinyl and I studied it so that I could say it properly.
It's Skinnard. You dipstick.
If it was Skinnard, it'd be S-K-I-N-A-R-D.
That's exactly how it's spelled.
S-K-Y.
The album Free Bird is on is called Pronounced Lay Nerd Skin.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Nerd. I do excuse me. By Leonard Skinner.
You can begin the day with a friendly voice or voices such as ours.
We hope that we're unobtrusive companions, but...
Yeah, we might be opinionistic companions, but we're friendly at least. You know.
We're certainly not elusive anyway.
And I was going to say, you can play this song that is so elusive, it's just perfect. But yeah, we would all like to thank you all for listening to this episode. If you have any recommendations or have any opinions on this song or any of the episodes, please write to us at our email address, which is songcraft.bid@gmail.com. Or you can write to us on Instagram or comment on our posts, or just follow us and like our stuff on Instagram, which is at song.craft.bid. And Ethan wants to say something.
I was going to say, and don't forget, there is magic at your fingers.
Exactly.
Write it right in with your requests.
Write it down.
It will be in the final special episode.
Write it down and send it in and we'll talk about it. Might rub
it
shreds.
Grapple with life. It's wonderful.
I love this song.
It ties in so well.
Chances are you guys won't get any glittering prizes and likely not any endless compromises, but we might even...
This whole season's been an endless compromise.
And to be honest, I think multiple times this season, Anthony has shattered the illusion of integrity.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we all can always count on Anthony for is emotional feedback on a timeless way of life.
I see that line, I was going to say that. But yeah, anyway, the words of the prophets were written on the studio wall, concert hall, and echoes with the sound of salesmen. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Death to the machinery making modern music.